I always say that I do not have fans. I have comrades. My fellow people, my fellow beings, in the struggle, in the enjoyment.
The Everyday People Show is a podcast of the AMBC, African Masters Broadcasting Center.
The next guest we have on stage, ladies and gentlemen, I don't think he needs any introduction. One of my favorite people on this planet, a very special human being. Please, give it up for One Love.
Human being.
My name is Emmanuel Owusu-Bonsu. I am also known as One Love the Kubolo. One Love the Kubolo. I came up with this name in two phases. When I was in junior high school, my nickname was Spooky. And when I moved to America and started doing music under the name Spooky, people said it wasn't a good name to call myself. It had some racist connotations or something. And around that time, I was listening to a lot of conscious hip-hop and reggae, and I used to hear them say One Love a lot as a form of greeting. And I liked the concept, especially according to Bob Marley, of One Love. And so I made that my artist name. However, Kubolo came along later. I had opened for J.W. Ambule in Santa Monica in California. And some Ghanaians were at the event. And after the event, they came to me and said, "Hey, from the things you were rapping on stage, we can tell that you were a Kubolo." And I hadn't heard that word for a long time. I used to be called a Kubolo when I was a child, because Kubolo is somebody who just roams about in the area, doesn't go home early, or runs away from class, or is just basically a truant, or what they'll call a vagabond. And around that time, there was an artist called Kanan from Somalia through Canada, I believe, Toronto. And he had a name, Kanan the Dusty Foot Philosopher, and I really admired that. So when I heard someone call me Kubolo or say the word Kubolo, I was like, wow, that's it. One Love the Kubolo.
If my brother they struggle for Kenya, I be Kenyan, no. If my sister they struggle for Nigeria, I be Nigerian, no. If my brother they struggle for Somalia, I be Somalian, no. If my sister they struggle for Romania.
What influences my style of music still? It's like a very wide array of inputs from different times in my existence as a child, as a teenager, as an adult. I can say as a child, a lot of classical music and cartoons, a lot of high life music from parties in Ghana, a lot of traditional music from festivals in Ghana. Then as a teen, a lot of hip hop from America, and dancehall reggae from the West Indies. Also listening to my father's and mother's collection of music from blues, soul, jazz, all sorts of music, the whole range from really traditional griot music from West Africa all the way up to Balkan, Roma music. But I'm really strongly influenced by lyricism and hip-hop above the rest currently.
Ghana be property of China, India, and Lebanon. the Queen of England, Unilever, and Newmont. Cold coast ocean waves are now louder because of plastic bags of trash rustling in the sea's armpit. Takra, the girls missing. Kumasi girls found. PBS story no shock me when a currency no sound. One president be thief, the other one be junkie. We the swing between them are parties like honey zombie monkeys. We no see them, they lie. But what we go feed you?
I was born in Ploiești, Romania. In the late 60s and 70s, a lot of Ghanaian students were being given scholarships by Kwame Nkrumah, our first president, to the eastern side of Europe, the Balkan states and Russia and so forth. And so my father went to study petrochemical engineering in a city called Ploiești, and he met my mother at a Nigerian friend's birthday party in Bucharest, and the rest is history, as they say. So after I was born in Romania, before I was 2 years old, my father and mother moved to Ghana. My father is an Ashanti man. His name is James Osubonsu. He is from Pechi number 2, as well as Old Tafu and the Ashanti region. He went to Addis Adel College, which is a high school. He studied in Romania. Then when he moved back to Ghana, he worked in the Ministry of Energy. And later he went into private business. And now he's a reverend minister, actually. A few years ago, he told me he had a revelation that his name, his first name, must be Emmanuel, which I found very interesting because that's my first name as well. So my father is now Emmanuel Jr. because I was Emmanuel before him. I call him Jr. now. I learn a lot from him, a lot. Very discerning, just person, kind, wise, love music, loves life. I'm married and I have children. 9 children, 2 adopted. They are all over the world. I have a son in Japan, son and daughter in Denmark, son in the UK, 3 daughters in Ghana, and a son currently with me, but he is from America, and his younger brother who is in Tanzania. My appearance, which I find super normal, and I find most people's appearances abnormal. I have not worn shoes or any form of footwear for 15 years now. And I think it's one of the best decisions I've ever made in my life. I feel connected more. I feel present. I remember everywhere I've been. And not only in sight, smell, sound, but also in feeling, because I remember how the sidewalks or the streets on Allen Ave in Ikeja feel. I know how the ground in Copenhagen feels and on Vesterbrogade. Like, I have memory of physical touch to places I've been. And it's a sense I'm addicted to now. I guess our ancestors called the bottom of our feet our third eye. And I sleep way better than I used to before when I was wearing shoes. I'm hardly ill, and my feet don't smell. Another aspect of my appearance people find peculiar is I've worn more wrappers and skirts in the past 15 years than I'll wear shorts or pants. You will hardly find me outside wearing shorts or pants. It's really about the freedom of being able to do that and the freedom my genitalia feel just in a loose flowing garment, which we call skirt, which we have attributed mostly to women. But when we look at the planet and different cultures, and even right in West Africa, we would know that skirts or dresses are not meant only for people we deem to be male or men. For me, that's how I feel in the moment to be dressing, and I don't know what will happen in the future. Just like I never knew I would one day dress the way I dress now.
Charlie, but why? What the wrong? You crazy? You want make Kubolo come here? You invite Kubolo come make we two we day here? Charlie, make you know Kubolo. Oh, you don't know the half cowboy way the deport time come. Some Ghana boy.
You sure say I know?
Oh, of course you go know him. They walk all over town, they rap skates.
I would like to add that the way I appear makes people feel that I'm either gay or a mad person, and none of those are things I find bad or wrong. Now that I think about the wrappers and skirts I've been wearing, which make me feel more comfortable opposed to pants and shorts because of the design, because of the flow of air and the freedom of mobility. Now, that perception given off as to me appearing to be gay is now a bit of a discomfort in Ghana, because Ghana in the past few months has become super homophobic.
In our last story, local anti-gay rights group National Coalition for Proper Human Sexual Rights and Family Values is demanding the immediate shutdown of an LGBT Ghana office here in Accra.
Members of the LGBTQ community in Ghana say their lives will become a nightmare if a new bill is passed into law. Same-sex relations are already criminalized in Ghana.
Thanks to the World Congress of Families, an American evangelical organization out of, I think, Texas or so, which are pushing together with members of our parliament this anti-LGBT bill to criminalize LGBTQ plus people, as well as allies and lawyers and doctors and anybody who dare to defend or protect the LGBTQ plus community. So now I'm a bit more wary of my appearance, and I find that to be very sad that a few months ago I wouldn't think twice about wearing a wrapper or a skirt, and now I have to gauge or be on guard because the position of the churches and the mosques and the colonially homophobic average Ghanaian and the state has really charged up and riled up the homophobia in the average citizen, which now feels empowered to the point of impunity to inflict damage on people perceived to be gay. And I find that to be very horrible, scary, sad.
The crazy outrage that has been sparked against LGBTQ and sexual minorities, when in fact, at the same time that there are so many offenses against the public interest, offenses against innocent Ghanaians. I mean, for one thing, I can't understand how anybody would be more outraged by activities between two consenting adults and nobody has complained to anybody. A third person is in his or her somewhere, is all upset. Meanwhile, we don't get nearly upset when people pray on innocent young children in the form of pedophilia. We are not morally and politically outraged when people and officials who are paid.
being in tune with nature for me is more of a physical thing than a spiritual thing. I feel spirituality is simply observing, being empathetic, and seeing the common thread or connection that binds this reality we live in, like how we are connected to our environment, to each other, and how nurturing each other is important for our wholesome existence. So not abusing the trees, because that's where we get our oxygen, not abusing the ocean, because that's where we get more of our oxygen than even the trees, not abusing our bodies of water, because that's where we drink from, and respecting all life around us. I feel that is the most practical approach to what we call spirituality, is putting yourself or seeing yourself in everything. If I was that tree, would I do that to myself? If I was that body of water, would I pollute it? Because everything is connected. So if one part of the planet is not doing well, it affects us all. And that's how I live my life. Accra and Ploiesch are home. Ploiesch because we still have the apartment in which I was born. It feels homely to be in that apartment. Accra because that's where I spend most of my life and I know it inside out. I know the language, I know the culture, I know the food, I know all the corners. So I guess home is where you feel most at ease, because until you are completely without worry or relaxed in a certain space, you cannot recharge your energy to go out and give your best. So you need a place where you are most comfortable and most relaxed as possible, so you can rebuild yourself from the wear and tear of society and travel and work and external forces and energies. So you can think of home as a charger. I always say that I do not have fans. I have comrades. My fellow people, my fellow beings, in the struggle, in the enjoyment. And what I have to say to us is, let's be kind, let's fight for justice, let's fight for freedom, let's fight for love. Marvin. My name is Emmanuel Owusu-Bonsu, popularly known as One Love the Kubolo. I am a musician, producer, and filmmaker based between Accra and Ploiesch. And this is my everyday story.
Buku 5, Buku 2.
dressing Brooku too. Be like she catch me Brooku. Get out my mind, that's Brooku. Play me sis Biluku. They boost me blessing Brooku too. You gonna send me, I they love you. You gonna send me, I they love you. You gonna send me, I they love you. You gonna send me, I they love you.